Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. Word of our Lord we consider this morning is that section of Scripture that was just read for you from 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is an exciting week at the seminary. For some, it means that 4 years of grueling education has come to a close here at Fort Wayne. And now that education is going to be transferred to a place where Sem4s are going to receive their first call into the public ministry. There's excitement for Sem2s as they receive their vicarage assignments and get to put into practice the things they have learned. It's an exciting time because what we see in this week here at the seminary is that the seminary is fulfilling its purpose for existence, to help equip and train men for the work of the ministry. It's an exciting time. It's a time that I can remember happening many, many years ago. But what the Lord has to speak to us about today applies to us whether we are in the seminary or whether we have been in the public ministry for some time. For as Paul addresses Timothy, he in this text imparts 4 important truths for us to keep in mind as we fulfill the calling that God blesses us with. First thing that Paul reminds this young pastor Timothy about is that it is important that he continue to develop in his personal faith life, and he continue to develop the skills and abilities that God has given to him. Satan is a sly one, and he would have us to believe that once we graduate from the seminary, or once we've been in the public ministry for so long, we've got everything in order. We understand how it all works. He would have us to believe that at some time our faith has reached that position that God would have it to be, or that we have so fine-tuned our skills and abilities that we don't really need much more help. When Satan leads us to fall into that trap, the ministry we're about is held on to by Satan himself. That's why Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, be in the Word. Continue to be a student of that Word. Continue to feed and nurture and strengthen your own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do so, Timothy, continue to develop the skills and abilities that God has given to you, so that you might be all you can be to the glory of God and to the benefit of his holy people. The second truth that Paul presents is that he tells Timothy that he needs to be bold in his testimony about the Lord. When one looks at 1 and 2 Timothy, it appears that Timothy struggled with this a little bit. A young pastor and others trying to push this young pastor around. There are challenges out in the world, and perhaps one of the greatest challenges that the church faces today is that those who lead the church be bold in their testimony for the Lord. What's happening, and things have changed so much since I began in the pastoral ministry in 1977, so much has changed in that the world more and more is pulling away from the standards of Scripture. And we see more and more moral decay and ethical corruption. Satan would have us to believe that it's important that we gain the favor of people so that we can bring them the gospel message. And so Satan would have us believe, let's compromise. Let's compromise the word of God with the world out there. Let's compromise standards. Let's compromise principles. But when we start compromising the word of God, then the gem of the gospel message of Jesus Christ also becomes deteriorated. So Paul tells Timothy, be bold, Timothy. Stand upon the truth. Call sin, sin. Be bold in declaring the whole word of God. And then you can present that gem of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And people, under the power of the Holy Spirit, can appreciate that wondrous message. Third, Paul talks to Timothy about making sure that his ministry is filled with love and self-discipline. If a man is going to be faithful in his ministry as an under-shepherd to the great shepherd, he has to have God's love for souls. We look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, and the ministry of Jesus Christ wasn't about bossing people around. It was about leading and guiding them to eternal glory. We see the wonder of Jesus' love as he extends his arms upon the cross and submits himself to the will of the Heavenly Father and bears the sins of all mankind upon himself, so paying for the sins of the whole world. God calls men into the public ministry to display that same love of God for souls. God would have us to serve his people in God's way, with God's love. That means that we deny ourselves for the sake of the gospel. That means that we speak the truth of God in love, but it also means that in those issues that arise so frequently, where God doesn't give any direction from his word, that adiaphora, as we call it, God calls you and I as his servants to deny our will and to seek to serve his people in love. Then we have the fourth and final point, which is perhaps the most important point of them all. Paul tells Timothy, remember that as you are that young pastor in the service of God's kingdom, you're that pastor by the grace of God alone. Again, Satan's right on the doorstep, ready to tempt us. Satan's there, ready to believe, well, you know, I finally made it through the sim. I've got my degree. Look at what I have accomplished. I'm ready now to conquer the world. And if we forget that it's by grace alone that we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, we cannot be the servant for Jesus Christ that God would have us to be. It's by grace that we've been able to grow here in our Christian faith. It's by grace that we're able to receive a vicarage assignment or a call into the holy ministry. It's by God's grace alone that we are privileged to be used by God to lead others to the Savior Jesus Christ. For me, one of the most striking passages, and a passage really that is my favorite and has been the basis of my ministry, comes from 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God. And God's grace wasn't wasted on me. I labored harder than all the other apostles. Nevertheless, it was not I, but God's grace in me." May the richness of God's grace bless you and I as we seek to serve the Lord, so that as we go forth in public ministry, we will do so in the humility and boldness, faithfulness, and love of a shepherd who shows his love for the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus and a life everlasting. Amen.